Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
We're continuing our really flow of what God is saying to us as a church and as a people. And God wants to say it to you this morning. To reign in life and bring God's rule is really God's word to us for 2010. And it's a tremendous vision to have personally. To bring kind of this concept even into our hearts and minds that God actually wants us to reign through Jesus Christ and to really not be under our circumstances, under negative emotions, under problems, under things that we struggle with, even in our personality. Do you know that Jesus is able to change things that you can't change? About your character, about your personality. The things that actually defeated you before won't now. Because once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, God does the greatest miracle of all. And He gives you a new heart. He puts His Spirit in you. He washes away, removes the sin. And He puts His righteousness in you as a gift that puts you in right standing with God. And as a new creation now, you have power to win. And the power is of God, not of yourself. It's His life in you. And we were hearing last week about the government or the reign of peace. And it's a tremendous, important message for us that actually peace is the way we reign in life. The increase of Jesus, His government and peace, there will be no end. But peace isn't around you, outside of you. When you become a believer, peace lives in you, dwells in you, because the Prince of Peace Himself is in you. And so peace really is always accessible. And I mean always. I don't mean just when the going's good. I mean at every season and every time of life, God's peace needs to be unlocked out of your spirit, out of your heart, and fill your life with supernatural, soul-changing peace. You see, peace changes your emotions. It changes you as a person. And so God wants this reign of peace expressed in your life. Now, one of the other truths that we read of in Scripture in Luke's Gospel is Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is not all over there or over there. It doesn't come with observation. But the kingdom of heaven is within you. When you receive the King, Jesus, in your heart, you receive Him as your Savior, your Lord, then God's kingdom is within you. Now, Psalms tells us that the Lord, He is enthroned, and He is ruling over all, and it also says His kingdom rules over all. So in other words, the kingdom of God is absolutely the most powerful kingdom there is in the world, in the universe. So actually, I can't tell you how much victory you've got in your spirit. You've got the dominion or the reign of God in your heart. And so if this kingdom rules over all, are we not then to expect the rule of God in our lives and circumstances and in the world we live in? We're not here just to rule our own lives. We're here to see the reign of God in this nation, to go well beyond our own little kind of boundaries and reaching right out into changing the nation and the nations for Jesus. Now, this word kingdom can be broken up into two kind of words. The kingdom means the king's domain, or rule, or administration. So when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about the kingdom, the King Jesus bringing His rule or His administration into the world. Now, we haven't always been in this kingdom. In fact, we were born into another kingdom. When we were first born as children, we were all born. We weren't right with God even when we were born. We were born into another kingdom, and that's called Satan's kingdom, or the domain of darkness. But Jesus actually came to rescue us out of darkness and bring us into his kingdom. Amen. And so through the new birth, or through being born again, we are now under the king's domain, or the rule or administration of heaven. Very important to see with the eyes of truth rather than what you feel or think yourself. That actually truth governs the way you think and what you believe. Now the king's domain is the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus is king of this kingdom. Now the word of a king is powerful. You know, in the old times, we're more used to in ancient history, when kings reigned over a certain country or over a certain domain or sphere, they themselves wouldn't do the work, they would speak. That's how kings reign. Okay, rulers reign. They say what they want, and it's put into operation. You understand that? Kings don't say, I want this in the country, then get a horse and go and do it. Okay, so they speak, and everything obeys the word of a king. Okay. Now God, he is king. He is God, he is king. Jesus is king. And the Bible teaches us that this king has brought his reign through his word. He spoke his word and all creation came into being. And when we read in the life of Jesus, when he spoke to the storm, he reigned over the storm through his words. He was a king in human form. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was the Son of God. But he spoke, and his words were powerful. Because it depends on the authority you have that backs your words. Now, before you really get excited, I'd just like to tell you something quite exciting. Because when Jesus gave birth to the new creation, which is the new you, when you were born again, he gave birth to a son, which means that you're a son of a king. It actually means you have the divine nature. So you're a king under the king. Because he's the king of... We have a race of kings. We have a room full of... If you're born again, you're a king. You're of a royal line, which means that you have certain privileges. Now, you don't hand all the privileges over to children when you're too young. A king would be foolish to entrust everything in his kingdom to children. That's why we need to grow up. So that God can trust us to bring his reign. But it doesn't change the truth that we're sons of a king. And therefore, princes. And we've been taught how to talk, how to act, how to think, how to speak, because we're different to what we used to be. And this kingdom is bringing the reign of God through his word. So the word of the King, Jesus, is powerful. All things must obey his word. So in other words, everything is in subject to the word of God. And this is what is called the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible is full of God's Word. Contained in the Bible is God's Word. Now, I promise you, I never watch Big Brother because I don't think it's the right thing to watch. It would grieve my spirit. It would grieve the Holy Spirit. But there is something really good I've heard that's going on in Big Brother, and that is there's a believer, there's a born-again person in that program. And he took in his Bible as the one thing he wanted to take in. I don't understand the program, but he took in his Bible. And one of the other girls, I think she's an actress, he would read the Bible to everybody in there. And this is all being televised on national TV. But what's more important is they apparently put you in a little room and interview you in the room. And in this interview, she said, I don't know what it is about that Bible. But she said it, and she started to cry, and she said, I never cry. But it, the words are so powerful. Well, of course, we know they are. We know the word is powerful, but she was experiencing the power. And she said, if this guy gets thrown out, I really want to keep the Bible here. And do you think I can have my own Bible? And we're like, go ahead. Well, I tell you what, if she doesn't get one, I'll send her one. Because it contained in that is the power to set people free. Contained in that, contained in the Word of God, is the power to change everything. It's a power to change you. It's a power to change your circumstances. It's a power to make you a winner. As a son of God. And so when we're talking about the word of the king, the word of God is powerful. And God's kingdom, when Jesus came, he taught in parables. He taught in stories. And he taught this story really about farming. You can read it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And he said, a farmer goes out to sow seed. And the seed that is being sown, he's talking about the word or the scripture. And he said, the seed is sown on different kinds of soil. There's the wayside where people walk and it's downtrodden. The seed doesn't go in there. And so Satan comes and steals that seed. Because Satan's always into wanting to steal the word. You know that, don't you? Right now, he's trying to get your attention off me to steal you from having a victory in your life this morning. Because the word is being preached. Okay, so Satan wants to steal so that you're not quite in the meeting. Because only those who are really in and have a heart that are really set can actually receive the seed that produces a harvest. So Jesus talked about the word of God being seed, that when planted in the human heart, or the new man, the spirit of a person, that word has power to produce everything that God has spoken. You see, everything that is or was made by God's word. You were made by God's word. The word spoke and creation came into being. And so everything that you want to see happen in the future will happen as a result of a word from God. We can trace everything back to a word or a seed that God plants in our hearts. Now, one thing that we have to be aware of is that the kingdom of heaven, although it's in us, there's no point in staying in us. God wants to release the kingdom. So what is in you, he wants out. He wants it unlocked. And we have to understand that the world system is no longer appropriate for us in this kingdom. We are now in a new kingdom where different ways apply. So it doesn't work to be selfish in this kingdom. It works to give. This kingdom operates under the law or the word of the king. The king says, give and it will be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So if you come under that word and begin to give, you're going to come into plenty. The world system is take it. God says give and it will be given. Now we have to understand the system of the kingdom. Because if we don't know how the kingdom works, we will always be frustrated in our lives. So many Christians are going around saying, well, it doesn't work for me. Well, let me put it like this. It always works. You maybe just need to change the way you're doing things. It always works because the seed, the word of God, is perfect. And so we see the system that the kingdom of heaven operates through God's word or the word of the king. Now, the word of the king needs to come into the heart of a believer or the word of God needs to come into our hearts for it to produce a harvest. All the time, God is changing the way we live. From people who live outside in to inside out. Because we're not living by what we feel or can touch or taste. We're living by what we've received in our spirit that will be growing up like a seed until the time of harvest comes and it will be manifest. That's the principle of how the kingdom works. The kingdom works in the unseen of your heart, like the soil with seed in it. You can't see the seed. But the kingdom begins to operate when the seed comes into your heart and you receive it like a good, noble heart. You just accept that word, and that word has power to bring about the harvest. Okay, so this is the principle of how God's kingdom works. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. We're training you to reign. Say, I'm being trained to reign. I was thinking this morning how if I arrived in a country that was foreign terrain and they grew different kind of crops there, my first port of call, if I was a farmer, would be to go to any farmer there in that land and say, come on then, show me how it works. So that I can actually learn how to plant the right seed and get my own harvest. Now, what we're doing here this morning is training you to do it for yourself. It's called growing up, guys. Rather than others doing it for you, you actually are trained so that you can grow up your own crops and see a harvest of what God's word says is promised to you. And so we need to understand that actually there are some things that we do. Some things God won't do for us. And if we don't understand that concept, we'll be sitting around waiting for the promises to happen and never see any harvest. And so we've really got to understand how this kingdom of heaven operates or works to get the best out of what God has done for us. In Matthew 12, verse 33, Jesus says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. All the time God is saying, I want to see fruit from your life. I don't just want you to walk around saying you're a believer. I want fruit. Okay? So Jesus said, I make you good on the inside. You're a new creation. All that I have done is good. But I want to see the fruit of what I've done coming out for others to experience. I don't go around eating trees. We eat fruit, the fruit that grows from the tree. And you could say my life is a tree which needs to be producing something. I don't want to walk for 25 years as a tree. I want to see fruit that actually changes people's lives and brings life into others. So Jesus says the nature of the tree produces what comes out of the tree. And he's talking not very pleasantly to religious people, you brood of vipers, which is quite a comment from Jesus. How can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. God is always concerned first for the heart and then for what comes out of your mouth. But it starts first in the heart. The seed first starts in the soil. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things. Say good things. Out of the good things stored up in him. So if we store good things are going to come out. If in my heart I store up or I put loads of treasure in the unseen, You can't see what's in my spirit, but God can. And he's watching over his word to perform it. I've got some cracking stuff ahead. I've taken it from the book like a bag of seed. I've put it in my heart and it's on its way. That's why it's Oh Happy Day. Bring good things out of the good that's stored up in you. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in them. And you see, blessing is to flow out of your spirit, out of the innermost being. That part of you that is the new creation. So the scripture is saying the believer's heart is the production center of the kingdom of God. Do you get that? How do we produce the fruit from God's word through our hearts? It's the production center. The production center isn't really being in a meeting. Right now, the production center of your life is your heart. And God says everything that's in a person will come out, good or bad. Right? So it will be manifest because life isn't just lived out of your head. It's lived out of your heart. That's how God made us to live from the inside out. And so we produce stuff that is from actually something that has already been sown on the inside. For example, you know the story about Mary when the Holy Spirit came and told her that she would have a child, a son. You remember the angel of the Lord appeared and spoke and said, Mary, you're going to have a son. His name will be Jesus. Of his kingdom there will be no end. He'll be the Son of the Most High God. How will this happen? She said, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. But I want you to notice how Mary gave birth to Jesus. First of all, through the word coming into her heart. She heard the word. She heard God speak. That's how Jesus was born. That's how the word became flesh and Jesus took on the nature of a man, of a person. The word came to Mary. What happened then? The Holy Spirit was activating that word that she received. We read of it in Luke 1 that actually Mary said, how can this be? And then she said, let it be to me according to your word. Now we have this kind of, we've got these learned statements that we trot out as charismatic Christians. We can even state these things. Let it be to me according to your word, Lord. But if we haven't received the word, it won't be according to the word in your life. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. And so we must first receive from God the seed in our hearts. Before we will see that word come into being. I don't know about you, but I really do not want to be a Christian that just talks about it. I don't want to be even somebody who knows all the promises. I want the fruit of them. My goal isn't knowledge. It's actually a manifestation of Jesus in the world. The Bible puts it like this, that actually we become living epistles, known and read by all men. So in other words, what I am, you will be able to read in my workplace. When I'm at the bank, you will be able to tell who I am. What the word has said I am has become a reality so much in my life that when people come into contact with me, they come into contact with Jesus. Now that can work in the negative, can't it? Because you can be a living epistle of something not so nice. Anybody? That people can come into contact with something that isn't that pleasant. We usually have a day off on a Friday, And we'd booked for a long time to go up to Bath on Friday, this last Friday. And it's Sandra's birthday next week, and we decided we'd have a bit of a birthday treat and get a cheap ticket, book ahead of time, and go on the train to Bath. Now, I'm not used to train travel. So we arrived there, and Sandra changed her card so she couldn't just go in and get the pre-booked tickets. We had to wait in a queue. And I tell you, that's one of the biggest tests of who I am, waiting in a queue. I'm like, peace, be still. I even have to speak it to myself. So I'm waiting there, and actually the time is ticking. Now, there's this one girl, and she announces where she's going to Hong Kong, and she made everybody there in that waiting room find out. I'm going to Hong Kong. There it was. And she said, and that man gave me the wrong information. And this, I have to say, we all felt very sorry for the guy behind the screen. You know, they've got this glass thing with a microphone coming out. And the guy in the end was shaking like this. Living epistle is what I'm talking about. This living epistle shouted. I mean, it was no purpose. You'd not achieve anything with shouting. It's not going to work. They really don't. It doesn't work. It's not actually the tactic that works. She's screaming, you're incompetent. I think if she said it once, she said it 20 times. Turning around, hit absolutely incompetent. In the end, the whole queue were like, I wish she'd be quiet. And there's this manifestation of anger, rage, and blame, and accusation pouring out on this guy who's trying to solve a problem that somebody else got wrong. I thought, gosh, aren't we supposed to be completely different as believers? In that situation, what would I do? What would you do? Well, we knew what to do there and then. We spoke peace to that storm. We just said, in the name of Jesus, we speak peace. And actually, it did change. Then we trundled up the stairs to get a coffee and a couple of drinks for the journey. We go in, and it's running a bit behind because of this delay. And we give the guy three orange juices or something and something else. And the man looks at us in anger because he got the price wrong. And Pastor Andrew was really sharp. She said, no, it isn't. It's not that much. And he got absolutely furious, stormed off with the £5. Left the room and went into the back. And we went, whoa, 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 we need to go. The train's coming. And I thought, take the juice and run. And I thought, not a good thought. Not a good thought. Anyway, he comes back. And I'm like, what do people live in all day? What stress? I mean, what a thing to show. Now, what's Jesus saying? I want you to be, not just talk like, this is what I am, a Christian. I want you to show it. I want the fruit of peace to be in your words, the words you speak as a customer in a shop. Because it's not just about talk. Show me by what you do that actually we're different. We've had a lot of talk, but we need to see a bit more manifestation of the kingdom of heaven and of who Jesus is. You know, I would say everybody in this room has heard that you're called to be a servant. You've probably heard the message perhaps 20, 30, 60, 90 times. And yet that word can only be made real when it begins to be something you live. And do you know where it starts? It actually starts at home. It's good preaching. Because it's not just about receiving the word. It's actually the word changing us to be manifesting who Jesus is. And I am absolutely committed to help you produce the fruit of what Jesus has done in you. And I trust you are committed to see it happen. Jesus says the treasure, the good stored up. Now that's the word. The word of God is treasure. It's actually seed, but it's also very special. It's very precious. It needs storing up in our hearts. And that word actually produces everything that God wants. Not just as an immediate thing sometimes, but as a change. You know, grace is in you. But for you to be known as a gracious person, that means a lifestyle change in the way you treat other people. So you haven't got a harsh word, but actually what you've got is grace on your lips, not just in your heart and in your actions. And so sometimes it takes a while for the new creation, the kingdom of heaven, the promises to become flesh and dwell among us. But we'd like a lot of dwelling. Let me tell you, the world needs a dwelling place of God, not just a faith confession. They don't just need to hear about, they need to see the reality of Jesus in and through our lives. So we start with the heart, and we start with the seed planted in our heart. Now, can I have the next slide? The condition of the heart affects the production or the harvest. Jesus spoke about that. I'm not going to go into that for a long time. But all I'm going to say is, don't be deceived if you're seeing nothing in your life and you're blaming everybody else. I think we can be so self-deceived as to why our life isn't working. When actually what God is saying, it does work if you do it my way. And you set your heart to be wide open to receive God's word. And doing that, you will then see a manifestation of his word in your life. So my heart affects what's possible. Although I can do everything, although every promise is yes and amen, my heart, it's important how I keep it. Okay, so it's my responsibility to take care of my own heart. Anybody? So if somebody else has got a problem with me, it's my responsibility not to have a problem with them. Rather than do the world thing. You see, the kingdom of heaven doesn't work like that. It doesn't operate out of revenge. It operates out of forgiveness. I know some of you face very difficult situations at work. Some of you face bosses that, are living epistles of things you don't want. But God says, if you are not careful that with your heart and keeping your heart in a good condition, then actually the word cannot be produced in your life. The promises will not come to pass. We can actually annihilate or stop what God wants to produce in us and through us. And so I think responsibility is a huge issue in our lives. What are we responsible for? And what will God do? What is God responsible for? And sometimes I think it even goes further to what we think pastors, leaders are responsible for. We are not responsible for your heart. Oh, happy day. In fact, we're really not responsible for what you do with the word. We'll help you. But in the end, God will hold you responsible for what you've heard. This word responsible, you know, it's a year of the reign of God, of government. And that sounds like number 10 to me. In this nation, we have number 10 Downing Street, which is the headquarters of God's government. And we look at your life, it's number 10, the kingdom of heaven. The government of God is in you, the rule of God. But you know, the people who live there are responsible for what happens in this country. They will actually one day give an account. And that's another matter. But responsibility is something that I think we miss out on sometimes. We like to make everybody else responsible for where we're at now with God. If I could, I would blame everybody for my mistakes. But in the end, I have to hold my hands up and say, actually, God's perfect. He didn't do it. Jesus says, I can't actually blame other people for where I'm at. So I better get down to digging my own heart, sorting it, so that I can actually get harvest. I heard a very funny story about responsibility the other day, and the subject was actually loving your kids on purpose. It was about raising children for Jesus. Fantastic story, so it might shock some of you. And it's about training children to be responsible. And I actually believe we need to train the church to be responsible. Do we have any believers here? Yeah. To train the church to be responsible. This story, right, this is a little 8-year-old kid. And loving believers, family, believed God, serving God. And always this 8-year-old had to take a backpack on the bus to school. And was never allowed to put the hamster in the backpack and take it to school. Was always told the hamster cannot leave the house. Now, what this training was about, training parents to take responsibility, or for allowing the kids to start to take responsibility for their lives. Who's responsible for what? So having instructed the 8-year-old to keep your backpack, not lose it, and never take the hamster to school, the child comes home one day from school and said, Daddy, I left my backpack on the bus, and it's even worse than that. I did something really wrong and I put the hamster in it. Now, this training is about the children taking responsibility. And one of the things they've said to the parents is to say to the child, and of course they have to be the right age, but I think 8's pretty good. They said to the child, basically, look at them and say, oh, really? What are you going to do about that? Hang on, let me say that again. It's freeing. Really? What are you going to do about that? 8-year-old goes, what am I going to do? You're not going to get into a flap and run off to the bus station. No, apparently this father said, 95 degrees been out there, very hot today, hamsters die in that heat. I thought that was a bit cruel. Anyway, I'll leave it to you and your parenting skills with that one. But basically, this child then is starting to take responsibility for not doing what the parents have said. So what happened was the parent goes, oh, I have an idea. And the kid goes, what? Because they know it's on their shoulders now. They're not like, you do it. Yeah. They're like, what do I have to do? Yeah. And the kid goes, what? What's the idea? He said, you could look in the phone book, get the number, and ring the bus station. So this little 8-year-old, no R, let's train them to rain. You see, we've all done, oh, they're too tired, let's do everything. And isn't that a mistake? I've made mistakes in raising children of God. Done too much for others. And this kid's looking through the phone book, he's probably online, I think it's a bit dated, looking up at the number, gets the number, and the parent gives them the phone, says, go on, dial, rings the bus station. Hello, did you find my bag on the bus? I left it there today. And of course, the child can't drive, so the parent takes them to pick it up. But what has happened is a new wave of responsibility in that child's life that says, I am responsible for my stuff. Now, if only we had that as believers. I'm responsible for my heart. Not come home and say, what are you going to do about this? Yeah, right. But what am I going to do about where I'm at with God? And I think responsibility is such an important part of reigning in life. That we don't delegate to others what we should be doing ourselves. Is that good? You see, this is a supernatural system of deposit and return. God promises whatever we deposit, we get 100-fold with the seed of God's word, the kingdom. So where the kingdom of heaven is in you, where the seed is planted, you can get a return. Deposit nothing, get nothing. Deposit in a wrong environment of your heart, damage the outcome of what you could get in God. Very good. So if we're clear that God's word is the way this system works, and it is about receiving seed and taking responsibility for what's in our heart, then we can move on into powerful Christian living. Now, when we receive the word, it can come to us as information. And that isn't a bad thing, to be informed by the word. But that is not the purpose of God in just us having information by reading the word or hearing the word. That's like having just head knowledge where we can quote, we can analyze and discuss, although we're not called to analyze and discuss the word, it's called to analyze us. Anyway, discussions, we're here to believe the word and accept it as God's word. But information needs to move to revelation or inspiration. So God's word is living all the time, which is why people in the world recognize the power of it. But it needs to drop from your head to your heart. Religious people just live with something, the message they heard on Sunday or something that they've read, but they never allow that to drop into their hearts. And whenever God's word is received, light comes. The entrance of his word brings light. So revelation, sight, you hear God, and that produces excitement. It produces a motivation. Whenever I hear God, I'm like, cool, awesome, wow, fantastic. There's a motivation that comes with revelation. It's like the power of God starts to work to move us into activity. Okay? But can I say it mustn't stop there? The revelation needs to move into transformation. That is the goal of the Christian life, to become like him in every way, that Jesus is seen and heard and touched and experienced through my life. And so transformation means I become a living example. See, when Jesus walked around, he didn't walk around with a series of messages. He had a lot to say, he had a lot to teach. But he says, actually, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Imagine somebody else saying, I look at you and I can just see Jesus. That's how it's supposed to be, the word manifest. If you've seen me, you've seen God. Because I've become a living epistle, known and read by all men. And so the purpose of God's word isn't just to inform us or even just to inspire us. It's to transform us from one degree of glory to another. And so there is a process of transformation going on of this new creation which is in your heart. And the kingdom of heaven, as the word is continuously planted, so transformation is taking place in you as a person. And a transformed person has a different family life. A transformed man of God becomes a praying, spiritual, kingdom-focused man who doesn't just have a Bible, but is living it in front of his wife and children. A transformed worker, a believer in the workplace, isn't just saying what the world says when their boss is doing the wrong thing and everybody's tearing them down. They're so changed by the grace of God towards them that they know they were sinners and yet Jesus saved them. That they are forgiving and kind to those who don't deserve it. They don't deserve it, neither did you. But we freely give because we freely received. And so it isn't about all the messages you hear. It's about the message coming, being planted, the word of God planted. And that word having the power to change you. If you and I are not different in 3 months, in 2 years, in 20 years, there is something wrong with us. If you've been a Christian for years and have never seen change in your character, there is something wrong about the way you're living your Christian life. And I am absolutely convinced that Jesus doesn't want us to just know about truth, but to actually show the world who truth is and what is possible for a person who knows God. What is possible to love the unlovely, to forgive what people would say is unforgivable, to be a light in the darkest place and yet know that what I have is stronger than any demon or any situation that's going on around. To not be corrupt with our money, where we pay what we should pay. We declare our taxes because God who sees in secret will reward us openly. And it's the hidden things that begin this process of a life that has changed. And we can actually say, actually, the more I go on with Jesus, I trust the more you can see him. And not just hear a message. You see, I'm a preacher, but if I'm not living this, I have no authority or right to be teaching it. And I'm not perfect. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the word is perfect and it's changing me. And there is hope for my future. There's hope for your marriage if you will allow God to change your soul. There's hope for your future because we believe in the new creation having power to change everything. So, in this world, I don't believe we lack resources. I don't believe we lack messages. I don't believe we lack information about God. I don't believe we lack teaching. I don't believe we lack events or music or inspiration. Do you? Apparently, last year, the American church spent $60 billion on Christian resources. Now, I'm not against resources. I believe they can feed us if applied in the right way. But there is, as Amos says, in the book of Amos, you read this scripture, there is a famine in the land. And it's not of bread and water. It's a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Of hearing the word. Not receiving information. We are the most informed generation. I can get on God Channel and hear world-class preaching, and it not affect my life at all. I can access the most amazing worship, but I may not be a worshiper in spirit and in truth. I just may be a listener. God is not looking for listeners. He's looking for worshipers who will worship him. You see, that's the word made flesh. It's not Darlene, it's me. Am I a worshipper? And I think, you know, the deception that comes in by us, because we think we know it. We think we can do it. We're living it. And we must not allow deception to hold us back in religion. We must be humble enough to allow the word to change us so that we actually demonstrate what it means to live the word and to see Jesus glorified. In Exodus, I was reading it in my personal time with the Lord this last couple of weeks. how God provided for his people. As they came out of Egypt, he delivered them, and they were needing provision. And you know, the Lord provided provision by manna from heaven. The bread of heaven came down every day. Moses said, the Lord's going to send manna, and you're going to go out and get it yourself. Now, I think this is where the responsibility comes in. Go get it yourself. Tell somebody next to you, go get it yourself. Everybody had to go out and collect the manna. And he said, don't get too much and save it for the following day. And some of them disobeyed God's word. They tried to get it all in one go and then live off that for 15 years. Or from conference to conference, or from experience to experience. And we can do it in our culture today very easily. We can live in the past of what life used to be rather than in the current daily collecting the manna of God's word. And so they collected too much and saved it for the next day because they were basically lazy. They were basically lazy. Laziness, you know, we make all kinds of excuses for not getting a word from God. But actually, laziness is at the bottom of it. Okay, it's right at the base of it. If I'm too lazy to go get it. And so they collected too much, and the next day it was stinking full of maggots. And Moses actually said, what is it about you that you won't do what you're asked? You know, won't do what you're told? Because we've got a king. His name's Jesus. And if he says you need daily bread, what do you need? Daily bread. We need daily bread for daily life. Okay, again, say to your neighbor, I need daily bread for daily life. You see, there's a famine not for the word, because the word's here. The word is near you. It's a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Not having the word, but hearing the word of the Lord. And our responsibility is to sow the seed of God's word every day, to eat the word, to take it in and consume the word. I don't know whether you know that this is really the biggest key for reigning in life, but it is. To reign in life requires a daily sowing of God's word in your heart. I totally believe that any laziness on my part will negate my future harvest. I believe that according to truth, not according to my experience, but according to truth. And then it will become my experience. But actually, I am responsible for seeing what God has spoken in his word come to pass. Turn to James chapter 1, and we're going to just come into the end of this message on reigning in life. James chapter 1 and verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. So more into listening than speaking. How about that for your prayer life? Sorry, you didn't hear it. How about that for your prayer life? More into listening to God than speaking. I actually believe we can get a lot more done from having listened. Because what we're going to receive is because God's already said it. We're in faith for it. Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So our temper doesn't bring about the righteous life that God is looking for. Our reactions to what's going on or why people don't do what we want them to do, it doesn't bring about a righteous life. Now, righteousness, we know, don't we, is a gift. Do we? That comes through faith. It's the new creation. It's the nature of God in your heart. But a righteous life needs to be released, not in the way you used to act, but in a new way of kind words. Now, I, you know, in the natural, before, particularly before I was born again, I'm quite, I could be quite a volatile person. Don't know that you know that. Feisty, Pastor Andrew would say, and it's true, I'm still feisty, but in the spirit. But there are some times where I feel that flesh life rise up, like, particularly in a queue. I'm really saying, every time I get into a queue, because I always choose the longest, or maybe God chooses it for me. Because he's dealing with my flesh, and I'm standing there going, oh, I'm so much too, because I'm quick. I want life quick. That's who I am, quick. I need it to happen now. And so I'm standing there, oh, gosh. And I'm like, and I get to the cashier, and I say, hello, all calm. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Yes, in a bit of a rush, perhaps, but I'm fine. I'm saying nice words. I'm not going, yes, could you hurry? I'm quick. I'm in a rush. I'm having to change. You see, because my natural person, the kind of flesh, independent of God, does not produce what God wants. And so I need the life of God to change my living. Amen. So 21 says, therefore get rid of all moral filth. Isn't that good? I don't have to say anything about that. The word says it. Get rid of it. The king says it. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And humbly accept the word planted in you. Which can save you. Which can save your soul. The word doesn't just save your circumstances. It saves your soul, your emotions, your thinking, your reactions, your responses, your temper. Some of you have had a temper for years. It's time to have a word to save your soul so you can save your marriage. You know, we're all into making excuses about our character. We say, well, that's just me. I have a bad temper. Well, stop it. A new creation is a different person has power to change the way we respond. So we can have peace-filled conversations about how to come to a place of agreement. The word can save your soul, save your marriage, save your kids. The word is powerful to change everything. Don't merely listen to the word, verse 2, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, and anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. I think you could spend a year on that, those few verses. Not just hearing them, but them transforming you. The word to look intently into the perfect law of liberty. This is the perfect law of liberty. This is the truth that sets you free. The truth that has power to bring freedom into your life. To look intently actually means to stoop down and take a closer look. So many read the word like this. Shoo! But God's word needs to be looked into intently, with purpose, to stoop down and take a closer look at God's word. So the word is to be studied on a daily basis. The word is to be collected on a daily basis. The word is to be eaten on a daily basis for you to be strong and to have all the manifestation of God's kingdom and promises. It actually starts with you looking into the perfect law of liberty and beginning a process of planting seed in your heart. Jeremiah says, your words came and I ate them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now, I'm just going to finish with this kind of training this morning on seeing the word come into our hearts and really seeing daily bread come to our lives. I just want to share really from my personal life. I have time early morning, and it depends what time it is to what time my day gets started. If I have a day off, it's usually a bit later. But if I'm got a normal kind of working day for me, I get up and at least an hour and a half before I start the process of breakfast, shower, and on to the day. I would say my favorite part of every day is that time. In fact, I tell you it is. God knows it is. It's the most joy-filled, blessed time of my day. I feel like Jeremiah, when I read about Jeremiah's responses to the word, your words came to me, I ate them, and they were the joy and delight of my heart. It's like I believe people are missing out on so much if they don't receive the daily word. It is, for me, the place where I hear God, the place where I understand something about God and his plan. It's the place as I read his word where actually I find he is reading me. Because the word of God is living and powerful and has power to search my heart and actually sometimes slice me off a bit that shouldn't be there. Trim me down on the inside. But the word also gives vision. It gives faith. It gives the answers for the situations I will face in that day. Just before Christmas, I was reading Job. Is that anybody's favorite book? So I take a Bible reading plan and I actually read my way through the Bible. And so I take whole chunks of scripture because for me, a little bit doesn't do me much good. I like a lot of word. Do you like a lot of word? Well, you should like a lot of word. You should eat a lot of God's word so that it has power to change you. And I was reading Job, and I'm like, ooh, heavy. And I always pray before I read. I always pray, God, speak to me. Thank you for your word. I pray for the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of you. So I'm reading Job, and I'm like thinking about it, kind of, God's speaking to me. I'm just writing stuff down. I always have a journal. I always have a pen, and I always have a large cup of tea. And I'm usually under my duvet. Okay, so that's my place. And let me tell you, you must find your place where God can actually put his seed in you so that you begin a process of God's word working. So I'm sitting there and I'm reading Job, and the Lord said to me, sometimes he just asks me questions, and I'm writing down stuff that I'm getting. And he said, what would Job have done if he was a Christian? And I went, boom, 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 that's the answer to all these people saying I've had a Job season. I've got the victory. I've got the answer. Because Christ lives in me, I've got authority over the enemy. Paul shook the viper off and it didn't affect him. Why? Because the new creation has authority over all the power of the evil one. So going around saying I'm having a Job season isn't relevant in the light of the new creation. Oh, you need converting. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you when you read the word with the mind of Christ. Not of the old covenant, but of the new. And so I get all kinds of exciting times with God. I have answers for people. Somebody, just this weekend, I've had two situations. Somebody I know has had a very, really difficult time in their marriage. And she called me and said, what can I do? Like, I'm like, I believe God's word is the answer for everything. I actually do, but it's the word that he gives. And this guy was violent, angry, all kinds of stuff. Not good stuff. Not the living epistle you'd like in your marriage. And I said, and she's a believer, I said, A gentle answer turns away wrath. Has anybody ever read that one? So, it's easy to have a word. She went and did it. Because that's not so easy, is it? In the face of somebody who's been treating you bad, to actually come with a gentle answer rather than, yeah. So I come with a gentle answer. So she went back to him with a gentle answer and said, you know, I love you. I'm so sorry you think that that's the way I've been responding. And just poured love and grace, completely transformed the situation. But I got that some time ago when I sowed the word. And let me tell you, that's fruit. And it's my fruit. Somebody picked my fruit. And I've got fruit in that marriage. Can you see how it works? It was in my heart. The Holy Spirit brought it out. God's word is producing fruit in that situation. And that's my fruit. I know it's to him be all the glory. The Father, please don't let... She thinks she's something. I'm talking about the word. But I'm also partnering with God in fruit. And so, can I say to you, if you are not daily eating the word, take responsibility for what God wants to produce in your life. The kingdom of heaven will come into being through the word of God, planted, spoken, living epistles, being transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory into another. And as we look into the perfect law of liberty, it changes us and changes everything around us. And Lord, I don't want to be the same in the manifestation of who you are in me this time next month. Get a Bible reading plan. Get a journal. Write what he tells you. Write down the things that you need to be doing in response to reading the word and hearing the Lord. And begin to live a real Christian life. Begin to live a real Christian, not a Sunday Christian life. A reigning in life daily through daily receiving the seed of God's word. Amen. Okay, let's stand together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.